Good morning, everybody. Could we please turn our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 16. Okay, the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So in all honesty, after I read that to you, I should be done, right? Pretty plain and simple, pretty cut and dry, and it gets right to the point. When I was in school, you know, both high school and college, my favorite classes were always the math and sciences class, and I especially liked the programming class. It was because everything was logical. So with computers and like electricity also, you have what's called logic. And I did that in the Navy too. I worked on electronics, and everything is logic. So you have, it's either on and off, yes or no, hot and cold, zeros and ones, black or white. It's so simple and so plain and so easy to understand. And I did poorly in the classes like English and history, because history, there's a lot of emotion into it, and so is English. When you write composition for English classes and a lot of the language classes that I took, it involved a lot of emotion. And emotion, sometimes when you put it into the equation, all logic goes out the door. And that's how the enemy gets us, I think. I feel that the enemy gets us because of emotion. And, you know, we have Tom and Glenn talking about, you know, this whole time, past few Sundays that we've had. They talk about the series of family and dating. And when I was in the military, and I still find it now in my line of work, that people get in trouble the most when they use emotion to make decisions. What's weird about emotion is that we all have it, and we know God blessed us with it, and He gave us the freedom to choose what we have for us, in front of us. He never forced us to. He didn't give us. We're not robots, you know. He gave us the choice. He gave us the choice because He loved us, and because we are special to Him. And I'm sure God doesn't want a bunch of drones worshiping Him. He wants us to have our free will to love Him and show Him affection. And like I said, what's great about math and sciences and all these classes that I took, it was pretty cut and dry. So I actually had something prepared for today, but I, you know, God has always been, like, sometimes He shows us one way, you know, oh, I want you to have something, and I've been preparing something, and I thought it was something that I wanted to speak about, but you have to stay fluid with God, and He shows you ways sometimes that you don't expect. So when I talk about emotions, like I said, Tom and Glenn were talking about, you know, the relationships that we have. When people, like in my line of work, a lot of the times I go to calls, I go to people's houses, and we're the last line of a thing. When people are so desperate that they don't know what to do, that they call us. They call us like, can you please help us? Can you please come to my house? Because there's a problem, you know, with my husband or with my kids or with my wife. And there's things that they involve in their life that doesn't make the situation better for them. And a lot of times it's drugs and alcohol. It's something else, you know, infidelity. It's whatever it is that they somehow, it's gone so far left for them that they result into using these things to self-medicate, and it doesn't work out. And it's the same thing with our relationship with Christ. And our relationship with Christ, you know, we look at what we want to have in our future for ourselves or for our kids. And nobody wants to see their children or their family members, and, you know, they're growing up and you say, oh, I really wish that my sister would trip and fall and she would break her arm. You know, nobody wishes rotten things for their kids. Nobody wishes rotten things for their family. And sometimes we are presented with problems and we don't know how to solve them. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is that there's certain things that we're presented with, opportunities and, you know, gifts. And sometimes we just don't want to take that leap. You know, we don't want to take that jump. God presents you with this great gift, his son. And he sent him down here and he gave us all the freedom and all the choices that we have. And yet we don't take that. We don't take that leap. You know, gospel bells are ringing, right? It's on a daily basis, we see good things and bad. And we know that at the end of it all, like this passage says, Mark 16:16, if you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. And it's a tough pill to swallow, but that's logical. It's either a yes or a no. So I'm going to share with you Luke chapter 4, verse 8. So this is Jesus Christ. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He that hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So just a little background. This is Jesus after he'd gone back from so before this, he was in the desert for 40 days, and he was tempted by the enemy. And we know that the first, you know, well, one of the temptations, he went through was God, you know, the devil tempted him with food, and he said, God should not live by bread alone. And then he was tempted by the kingdom, you know, not the kingdom, but the earth. The devil promised him to, you know, I will give you the earth if you just worship me. But Jesus Christ said, there's only one God. There's only one God. There's nobody else. And it's a great example for us, I think, that Jesus Christ, his faith, that he had to the Father. And regarding what he was going to go through, you know, his birth was miracle. It's a miracle. We know it. He, you know, Mary was, she became pregnant and she was a virgin. But what the suffering that he has gone through, and the faith that it took, and the strength that it took for him to die on that cross, to be sacrificed, to be spit upon, to be ridiculed, to go through all the negativity, and the faith that he had all throughout. What a great example. And it's for us, it's an example. We are presented with that. What a convenient way for us. You know, we don't have to do anything. What greater faith is there to the Heavenly Father by showing him that we love him so much that we accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior? And I have another verse. On chapter 8 of Hebrews, verse 9, 10, and 11. So, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And what's important about this is that in the first covenant, when God gave us commandments, the people of Israel, when they received the commandments from Moses, that God realized after that that we are not capable, we're not equipped to fight the sin or fight temptation. We're not equipped to pay for our sins, our own sins. And, you know, in the beginning, like in the Old Testament, if we look at how people atoned for their sins, they would kill animals, right? The perfect sheep and the perfect goat or whatever it is, and then they would sprinkle the blood. But God realized that people did not go through with that, and so he sent his son Jesus Christ. And so when he sends his son Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for us. And on the next chapter, chapter 9, verse 12, 13, and 14, it says, Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls or and of goats and ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. So the way I read this as, if the blood of the goat, which was perfect, it's an animal, is imperfect, and God, Jesus Christ was the perfect being, as far as we know, as any humans in human history, we know nobody else has ever been as perfect as Jesus Christ has. So if the blood of goat in the Old Testament was good enough, and the new covenant, Jesus Christ came down and died on the cross for us, who is a perfect being, how much more precious is that? When that himself, Christ himself is God. So the atonement for our sins, the goat doesn't even come close. The blood of the goat doesn't even come close to the blood of Christ. When he washed away our sins, that blood was perfect. He was spotless and blameless. And he was so obedient. He didn't have to do what he did for us. But he loved us. I mean, he loved us so much. God the Father loved us so much. He gave his only begotten Son. And just think about the most precious thing you have in your life. And most of us, it will probably be a family member. The most precious thing in your life, and you have to give it up, and it's for somebody that doesn't even care about you. And that's, God knew from the beginning, the Heavenly Father knew from the beginning, that we were going to be imperfect, and that there's people out there, if we look at how society is now, there's people out there who actually celebrate sin, right? We look at the news and how depressing it is sometimes. You look at what is glorified in music and secular music and the secular world, television and movies. I know a lot of you guys don't watch, some of you might not watch movies, but what's the message? The message is, you know what, I don't care who I hurt as long as I'm happy. I don't care if I destroy somebody's relationship as long as I'm doing what I feel is good for me. And I don't care if I leave my children fatherless or motherless, as long as I can go out and party and have you know, the things that make me happy. And it's so opposite of what Jesus Christ did for us. And his message was when he came down, you know what, I don't care if you love me or not. I don't care if you worship my Father. I don't care if you give up anything for me or not, but I will still die for you. I will still go on that cross, and I will get nailed. I will let them feed me or let me drink vinegar. I will let them stab me on the side. I will let them do all of that. I'll suffer for you. I don't care if you love me not, but I will still love you as much. I will love you even more than you will ever know. And guess what? If you accept me, your sins are forgiven. And I think, to me, when you look at what the punishment is for a single sin, you go to hell. And it's eternal damnation in the lake of fire and gnashing of teeth. To me, the greatest punishment isn't that lake of fire. It's being away from the Father, the one that loved me and the one that created me and the one that created this planet. This planet is so perfect without us. Without us, this planet is just absolutely perfect. But we are here and we are putting sin into the world and we are spreading sin. And God, I think being away from the Father for eternity, that would be the ultimate punishment. I mean, I can't imagine if the entire world accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as, you know, as their Savior, we would all go to heaven. And the heaven's not, it's pretty vast. I mean, I don't know what heaven is. I don't think anybody in here knows what heaven's like, but I can't imagine heaven being, I don't think we can all fill up heaven. We can take all the people in the world and still not fill up heaven. And what a great news it is indeed. And so, I know some of you, I'm not saying some of you, and I'm not pointing out anybody, but you're sitting in this chair every Sunday, and you listen to what we have to say, what Tom and Glenn have to say, what the elders have to say, and everybody here, you know, Paul, when we come up here and we say, we talk about the gospel, and we try to share the experiences that we have. And I can only speak from my experience. But at one point in my life, I had sit in the back of that chair and, you know, wondered, why do I come to church every Sunday? What's the point? What is the point why I'm here? And at that point, before, when I wasn't saved, you know, it was just a routine when you go to church and, you know, we get to get dressed up, we get to shake people's hands. And, you know, I remember, you know, I was saved when I was 17, but before that, I remember I used to look forward to go to church because I knew after church my mom and dad was going to take us to some fancy restaurant because we were already dressed up for it. And that's what I was looking forward to. But what you can look forward to when you're saved is that you get to dine with the Heavenly Father in a big old table that's, you're not going to see whoever is across from you because it's going to be so big. And we're probably all, no matter what, we're all going to be sitting next to God. We're going to be sitting next to somebody, but we're actually going to be sitting next to God. And what greater gift is that? I mean, I can't imagine a more perfect ending to my life. And you know, I can't imagine anything better. I can't think of anything better that I've experienced on earth that's going to be better than what is going to be in heaven. And so if you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, why aren't I saved or what am I doing here? And obviously God is calling you and he wants you to accept his son as his Lord and Savior. And if you wait, and if you absolutely wait, then you're going to miss out. And last night it was kind of funny because I was thinking about this message. And last night, my partner and I, we were working, and the street that we were at, it was like, it's a really busy street. And we had to stop super fast because we saw somebody that was, he was stumbling and he looked like he needed a lot of help. So I stopped and my partner jumps out of the car and I jumped out and I was driving. And as soon as I opened the door, I see this car go around me. And I was like, wow, I could have been out there and I would have been hit. And I could have been dead. And I don't tell Stacy stuff like this because she worries she worries about it. But I can't imagine if I hadn't been saved, then it would be uncertain. And you're going to go home today, probably, if you're not saved, you're going to go home and you're going to think, well, what another Sunday, you know, good meal, whoever made it, it was awesome, it's free, but there's more stuff, there's more things to really think of. And some of you, the younger guys, you know, or girls, is sitting there and you're waiting for that moment to be saved. You know, be patient. God will call you. But if he does and you don't open that door, I know he's going to keep knocking on that door, because he did. He kept knocking on my door. He kept knocking and he kept telling me, hey, come on out, come on out, come with me. And he will knock at your door. Answer that door, because if you don't, it might be too late. So let's bow our heads in prayer. And Father in heaven, we come before thee today. Some of us are already in thy, in the list for thy kingdom. Some of us are not. And some of us that might be here or are not here, that thou art calling for us. And Lord, we need to answer. We need to answer with a good, solid yes. That in Mark 16:16, we know, if thou art not saved, then thou wast suffered. And Lord, we just want to give thee thanks and praise, Lord, and we just thank thee for thy kind blessings and thy kind gift, the most precious gift of all, and it's the gift of eternal life through thy Son, Jesus Christ. Although we are undeserving, although we do not appreciate it, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that the opportunity is there. And Lord, and for those who are here, who might be interested in being saved, or who might be being called upon by thee, Lord, may thou, by thy child, answer up. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.